Chapter 50. Mankind in such an aspect, Master Copperfield, but our reception was, decidedly, cool. There is no doubt about it. In fact, that branch of my family which is settled in Plymouth became quite personal to Mr. Micawber, before we had been there a week. Apostrophe, I said, and thought that they ought to be ashamed of themselves. Still, so it was, apostrophe continued Mrs. Micawber. Under such circumstances, what could a man of Mr. Micawber's spirit do? But one obvious course was left. To borrow, of that branch of my family, the money to return to London, and to return at any sacrifice. Apostrophe, then you all came back again, ma'am? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I said. We all came back again, apostrophe, replied Mrs. Micawber. Since then, I have consulted other branches of my family on the course which it is most expedient for Mr. Micawber to take, for I maintain that he must take some course, Master Copperfield, apostrophe, said Mrs. Micawber, argumentatively. It is clear that a family of six, not including a domestic, cannot live upon air. Apostrophe, certainly, ma'am, apostrophe, said one. The opinion of those other branches of my family, apostrophe, pursued Mrs. Micawber, is that Mr. Micawber should immediately turn his attention to coals. Apostrophe, to what, ma'am? Apostrophe, apostrophe, to coals, apostrophe, said Mrs. Micawber. To the coal trade. Mr. Micawber was induced to think, on inquiry, that there might be an opening for a man of his talent in the Medway coal trade. Then, as Mr. Micawber very properly said, the first step to be taken clearly was to come and see the Medway, which we came and saw. I say we, Master Copperfield, for I never will, apostrophe, said Mrs. Micawber with emotion, I never will desert Mr. Micawber. Apostrophe, I murmured my admiration and approbation. We came, apostrophe, repeated Mrs. Micawber, and saw the Medway. My opinion of the coal trade on that river is that it may require talent, but that it certainly requires capital. Talent, Mr. Micawber has. Capital, Mr. Micawber has not. We saw, I think, the greater part of the Medway, and that is my individual conclusion. Being so near here, Mr. Micawber was of opinion that it would be rash not to come on and see the cathedral. Firstly, on account of its being so well worth seeing, and our never having seen it, and secondly, on account of the great probability of something turning up in a cathedral town. We have been here, apostrophe, said Mrs. Micawber, 3 days. Nothing has, as yet, turned up. And it may not surprise you, my dear Master Copperfield, so much as it would a stranger, to know that we are at present waiting for a remittance from London, to discharge our pecuniary obligations at this hotel. Until the arrival of that remittance, apostrophe, said Mrs. Micawber with much feeling, I am cut off from my home, I allude to lodgings in Pentonville, from my boy and girl, and from my twins. Apostrophe, I felt the utmost sympathy for Mr. and Mrs. Micawber in this anxious extremity, and said as much to Mr. Micawber, who now returned, adding that I only wished I had money enough to lend them the amount they needed. Mr. Micawber's answer expressed the disturbance of his mind. He said, shaking hands with me, Copperfield, you are a true friend. But when the worst comes to the worst, no man is without a friend who is possessed of shaving materials. Apostrophe, at this dreadful hint, Mrs. Micawber threw her arms round Mr. Micawber's neck, and entreated him to be calm. He wept, but so far recovered, almost immediately, as to ring the bell for the waiter, and bespeak a hot kidney pudding, and a plate of shrimps for breakfast in the morning. When I took my leave of them, they both pressed me so much to come and dine before they went away that I could not refuse. But, as I knew I could not come next day, when I should have a good deal to prepare in the evening, Mr. Micawber arranged that he would call at Dr. Strong's in the course of the morning, having a presentiment that the remittance would arrive by that post, and propose the day after, if it would suit me better. Accordingly, I was called out of school next forenoon, and found Mr. Micawber in the parlor, who had called to say that the dinner would take place as proposed. When I asked him if the remittance had come, he pressed my hand and departed. As I was looking out of window that same evening, it surprised me, and made me rather uneasy, to see Mr. Micawber and Uriah Heep walk past, arm in arm. Uriah humbly sensible of the honor that was done him, and Mr. Micawber taking a bland delight in extending his patronage to Uriah. But I was still more surprised when I went to the little hotel next day at the appointed dinner hour, which was 4 o'clock, to find, from what Mr. Micawber said, that he had gone home with Uriah, and had drunk brandy and water at Mrs. Heep's. And I'll tell you what, my dear Copperfield, apostrophe said Mr. Micawber, your friend Heep is a young fellow who might be Attorney General. If I had known that young man, at the period when my difficulties came to a crisis, all I can say is, that I believe my creditors would have been a great deal better managed than they were. Apostrophe, I hardly understood how this could have been, seeing that Mr. Micawber had paid them nothing at all as it was. But I did not like to ask. Neither did I like to say that I hoped he had not been too communicative to Uriah, or to inquire if they had talked much about me. I was afraid of hurting Mr. Micawber's feelings, or, at all events, Mrs. Micawber's, she being very sensitive. But I was uncomfortable about it too, and often thought about it afterwards. We had a beautiful little dinner. Quite an elegant dish of fish. The kidney end of a loin of veal, roasted, fried sausage meat, a partridge, and a pudding. There was wine, and there was strong ale, and after dinner Mrs. Micawber made us a bowl of hot punch with her own hands. Mr. Micawber was uncommonly convivial. I never saw him such good company. He made his face shine with the punch, so that it looked as if it had been varnished all over. He got cheerfully sentimental about the town, and proposed success to it, observing that Mrs. Micawber and himself had been made extremely snug and comfortable there, and that he never should forget the agreeable hours they had passed in Canterbury. He proposed me afterwards, and he, and Mrs. Micawber, and I, took a review of our past acquaintance, in the course of which we sold the property all over again. Then I proposed Mrs. Micawber. Or, at least, said, modestly, if you'll allow me, Mrs. Micawber, I shall now have the pleasure of drinking your health, ma'am. Apostrophe on which Mr. Micawber delivered an eulogium on Mrs. Micawber's character, and said she had ever been his guide, philosopher, and friend, and that he would recommend me, when I came to a marrying time of life, to marry such another woman, if such another woman could be found. As the punch disappeared, Mr. Micawber became still more friendly and convivial. Mrs. Micawber's spirits becoming elevated too, we sang Auld Lang Syne. When we came to Here's a Hand, My Trusty Freer, we all joined hands round the table, and when we declared we would take a right good willy wout, and hadn't the least idea what it meant, we were really affected. In a word, I never saw anybody so thoroughly jovial as Mr. Micawber was, down to the very last moment of the evening, when I took a hearty farewell of himself and his amiable wife. Consequently, I was not prepared, at 7 o'clock next morning, to receive the following communication, dated 9:30 in the evening, a quarter of an hour after I had left him. My dear young friend, the die is cast, all is over. Hiding the ravages of care with a sickly mask of mirth, I have not informed you, this evening, that there is no hope of the remittance. Under these circumstances, alike humiliating to endure, humiliating to contemplate, and humiliating to relate, I have discharged the pecuniary liability contracted at this establishment, by giving a note of hand, made payable 14 days after date, at my residence, Pentonville, London. When it becomes due, it will not be taken up. The result is destruction. The bolt is impending, and the tree must fall. Let the wretched man who now addresses you, my dear Copperfield, be a beacon to you through life. He writes with that intention, and in that hope. If he could think himself of so much use, one gleam of day might, by possibility, penetrate into the cheerless dungeon of his remaining existence, though his longevity is, at present, to say the least of it, extremely problematical. This is the last communication, my dear Copperfield, you will ever receive from the beggared outcast, Wilkins Micawber. Apostrophe, I was so shocked by the contents of this heart-rending letter that I ran off directly towards the little hotel with the intention of taking it on my way to Dr. Strong's and trying to soothe Mr. Micawber with a word of comfort. But, halfway there, I met the London coach with Mr. and Mrs. Micawber up behind. Mr. Micawber, the very picture of tranquil enjoyment, smiling at Mrs. Micawber's conversation, eating walnuts out of a paper bag, with a bottle sticking out of his breast pocket. As they did not see me, I thought it best, all things considered, not to see them. So, with a great weight taken off my mind, I turned into a by-street that was the nearest way to school, and felt, upon the whole, relieved that they were gone, though I still liked them very much, nevertheless. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.